Our text this morning is Judges chapter 16. We're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Judges chapter 16, verse number 6. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy strength lies, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withes, and were never dried, then shall I be weak as another man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought to her 7 green withes, and with that that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And there were men lying in wait and abiding with her in the chamber. And she says unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he broke the withes, and the thread of the tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me, and ye have told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherein thou mightest be bound." And he says unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes and never were occupied, then shall I be weak as another man." And Delilah therefore took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he broke them from off of his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web." And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he was awakened out of sleep, and he went away with a pin of the beam and with the web. And she says unto him, "How can thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast told me wherein thy great strength lies." And it came to pass, and when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so his soul was vexed unto death, that he finally told her all of his heart, and said unto her, "There has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength shall go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men." This morning, as we draw our attention to Judges chapter 16, we've been in a series of lessons, a series of sermons concerning the judges of the nation of Israel. As I expressed last time, we were going to look at 2 for Samson. One was when Samson was younger, and this week we look at this passage where Samson being older. And as a reminder, our series have been concerning the things not to do, the things to be sensitive of, the things to be aware of, and concerning our walk with God in endeavoring not to repeat those same mistakes. We found the deliverer Ehud. You remember Ehud had disguised himself. More specifically, he had disguised his motives with a message from God. And we found that through that was the discussion that how we go about doing God's will does matter. It's not just the end result, but it's the method or the walk along the way. We also found the relationship from Barak, who was the deliverer, and Deborah, who was the judge, that Barak was called to service, but he wasn't going to go without Deborah. And so we find, even in our own lives, a spiritual crutch and removing that spiritual crutch. Gideon was the deliverer who had made an ephod. He had taken the spoils of war, had fashioned himself an ephod, and that ephod became an idol. It became a problem for both his family as well as the nation of Israel. And we find so often that we, as God's people, we receive blessings, we receive successes in life, and be careful not to convert those blessings into an idol. We also looked at Jephthah and his daughter, the vow that Jephthah makes, and ultimately the sacrifice of his daughter. And we looked at that, being careful to apply the biblical things, that be careful that we are not legalistic without mercy. And then we looked at last week, Samson the younger, the gift that God had blessed Samson, and how did he go about using his gift? His gift was used in a very selfish way, and not certainly not the way that we would have anticipated with someone who had was brought into life with a special purpose and a special gift, and he just didn't use that for God's glory. So this morning we tackle the second part of Samson's life, which was with Samson being older. And we had divided that in Judges chapter 15 in verse number 20. It says that he had judged Israel in the days of the Philistine for 20 years. So there was these events that transpired in the beginning of his life, but now we're looking at the events that transpire after those 20 years. And that is where Delilah comes in. We have this story, this event in the life of Samson where he has a relationship with Delilah, and that relationship ends up with him being captured, blinded, imprisoned, and ultimately to his death. And so we look at that thing, and again, our focus is what not to do. Well, we would all like not to be imprisoned, blinded, and, and suffer the ridicule that he experienced at the tail end of his life. So, the things not to do when we look at Samson. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we draw our attention upon this chapter in the life of Samson. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you for today. We praise you for the blessings, the mercy that you give unto your people. We praise you for this time that we have together. Father, we pray that we would not compromise this time with distractions of this life, but that we would be attentive to the ministry of the Spirit. Father, may we be aware, may we be sensitive, may we be attentive when the Spirit of God is ministering to our hearts. And Father, we just pray that we would be faithful and mature in our walk to respond to what the Spirit has to say. We ask your blessings upon our time together. We ask your blessings upon our church members that are traveling. Father, we just pray for their safety and their safe return. We ask your blessings upon these services. May the words be that are read and spoken, may they be to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So last time we were together, we looked at the miraculous birth of Samson. But we also looked at the relationship, his first marriage. We see that that first marriage didn't quite work out the way it should have. In the celebration of his marriage, the seven-day feast, Samson had made a bet and had lost that bet. And we saw that he had used his gift to kill Philistines in order to honor the payout of his bet. But then we also saw that as he was on the run from that his wife was given to another, his best friend, his companion. And when he had returned home to find his wife was given unto another, we certainly see his response or relationship concerning those things, that he had taken on an attack unto the Philistines. And so this is what Nehemiah speaks to when he talks about this time frame, that God would raise up deliverers. The Philistines had imposed their rule of law upon the nation of Israel, and therefore also is the sense of taxes to be paid, a burden that is to be paid. But in our previous set of examples, these deliverers had raised an army and overthrew the enemy. But Samson was an army of one, and the results of his failed marriage had resulted in him overthrowing the Philistines. He had attacked and killed 1,000 of them, and their rule of law, their burden, had been lifted off of the nation of Israel because of that attack. And that's where we had ended last time in Judges chapter 15, verse number 20. He judged Israel for 20 years. He had judged Israel from this capacity. So looking at the life of Samson, this army of one, this guy that was given such a tremendous gift to be able to liberate the Philistines or liberate Israel from the Philistines, certainly looking at this guy. Last time we were together, we looked at the miraculous birth of Samson. But today we recognize what it means to judge the nation of Israel for 20 years. Now, when we tackle the story or the chapters of life of Samson, we tend to run from one chapter to the next. We tend to gloss these chapters over, not recognizing passage of time. 20 years is a long time. It's a long time for him to be in a position of spiritual leadership. One of the things that we have recognized in our series is that there is a distinguishing difference between judging and delivering. That there is a spiritual leader, there is a political leader. And some of these names listed in the book of Judges served as a spiritual leader, and some of them served as a political leader. We find in this example that is set in the very first one that we touched bases with was in Judges chapter 3. If you turn with me to Judges chapter 3, I remind you the life of Othniel. Othniel was our very first judge that we see. He served as both a deliverer as well as a judge. In the life of Othniel, this sets for us a pattern in which we can analyze or appreciate these other men that come about. And so in this, we find the life of Othniel here in Judges chapter 3. We see that Israel, verse number 7, Israel did evil. They went and served idols. God sold them into Mesopotamia. Then we see the cry of the nation of Israel unto God. God responds, and a deliverer is raised. Verse number 9. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them. And Othniel is that guy. And so he overthrows the armies of Mesopotamia. And we see that with that, that puts him in a position where he is in a political leadership in leading the nation of Israel against the enemy. But then, verse number 10, we see the Spirit of God comes upon him. And now he serves as a judge over Israel. And so we see that Othniel serves in both capacities. Now, when we were walking through the series of judges, we found that some of these, that both the political and the spiritual leader, as Othniel, but some were not. Another example to this was Barak and Deborah. Barak was called to service by the prophetess Deborah, and we see that in our Judges chapter 4, and in verse number 7. It says that she calls him to the service, and so he raises an army, he goes to war, and he serves in this role as a political leader. But he was never the judge. The judge over Israel, that was Deborah. In verse number 5, Deborah, who was a prophetess, she served as a judge, a distinguishing difference in the roles, the judging the nation of Israel according to the Mosaic commandments that was given unto them. Jephthah is another example of this. He served in both roles, and Jephthah in Judges chapter 6 was called to a political service. They come to him and they express unto him, chapter 11, verse number 6, they come to him and say, hey, we want you to be our political leader. And so there is a negotiation that goes along with that. He says, yes, I will lead your armies. Yes, I'll go and attack. And so he does. He goes and he attacks. He liberates the nation of Israel. But then we also find with him that the Spirit of God descends upon him. In verse number 29, Judges chapter 11, verse 29, then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And then after the battle, he now serves in a spiritual role. Judges chapter 12, verse number 7, Jephthah will judge the nation of Israel. And so there is this correlation between the receiving the Spirit of the Lord and judging the nation of Israel. Where the other deliverers, there is not this gifting of the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes we forget that the Spirit of God was not given unto all of the nation of Israel as it is in the New Testament. In the New Testament church, the members of the church, partakers of the Spirit of God. That was not the case in the Old Covenant. Only special individuals received the Spirit of God. And so these examples of Othniel and Jephthah are examples where they received the Spirit of God, and because of that reception of the Spirit of God, they also serve in that spiritual capacity as a judge. This is certainly the case with Samson. We see that despite his young, rebellious life that we had witnessed last time in Judges chapter 13 and 14, this marital relationship that went bad, went sour, but the scriptures testify that he had received the Spirit of God. Judges chapter 15, verse number 14. Judges chapter 15, verse number 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And just like these other examples, the Spirit of God had come upon him mightily. And then the last verse of that chapter, Judges chapter 15, verse 20, he judges Israel for 20 years. So to recognize that this 20-year span in this role that he served as a spiritual leader, this role of having the Spirit of God in him, is an important part of recognizing the quality of individual Samson was. The other part of Samson that doesn't always get attention is this vow. He had made a Nazirite vow. Now, more specifically, his parents made the Nazirite vow. But just because the parents make a vow, it's still up to the individual to honor that vow. And he does. He does honor the Nazirite vow from birth. And as we illustrated last time, there was of only very few examples of a person who having a Nazirite vow from the beginning of their life. That was not a normal thing. That was it's a spiritual thing, and then it was a very conscientious thing. And Samson does hold to that vow from the beginning of his life. If you would turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Here in Numbers chapter 6, we find in the book of Numbers this description of what it means to have a Nazirite vow. Now, the Nazirite vow was intended to be a short vow, and it was intended to be for a special occasion or a special purpose. But that's why it was so exceptional when someone would be a Nazirite for life. And Samson serves as one of these examples. And here we are, Numbers chapter 6, reading verse number 3. Numbers chapter 6, verse number 3. And as I read, just imagine in your mind, just imagine this was you trying to spend your entire life, a child, a teenager, a young man in your 20s, an old man in your 40s, that these things, that you would hold on to that. Think about the difficulty this would be. Numbers chapter 6, verse number 3. He shall separate himself from wine or strong drink, shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eaten moistened grapes or dried grapes. So the sense of no alcohol, we can relate to that stance, verse number 4. But all the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. So there's a restriction of food, a type of food that you would not eat. Verse number 5. All the days of his vow of his separation there shall be no razor upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separates himself from the Lord. He shall be holy, even the locks of his hair of his head will grow. And so the sense of no haircut. Right? Now, the Nazirite vow being in a short time frame, that makes sense. No haircut for a certain time frame. But a no haircut from the days of your birth, that's a lot of hair, right? And so that sense of no haircut for the entire life, just imagine the amount of hair that would be and the difficulties that would have. And then verse number 6, all the days that he separates himself from the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. Now, death is a part of life, burial of the dead is a part of life. But to have no connection coming near the dead body, I mean, that's a difficult thing. So sometimes we think in our minds it's easy to just spit off and spout these things, but I mean, in real practicality, to not go near the dead, not have a haircut, not eat certain foods, that these things, this was actually hard. This was hard. In a sense of a short time, yeah, we can all get on a diet for a short time, but to be on a diet for the entire life, right? There is a certain amount of zeal that comes. And so I'm belaboring this point to recognize that Samson was a Nazirite for his life. And 20 years he judged the nation of Israel as one who had the Spirit of God, which is abnormal in that day, and to hold on to this Nazirite vow for his life. This speaks pretty highly concerning the quality of the individual that we're talking about. Gives us a different flavor concerning the young rebellious guy we were reading the last time we were together, concerning this guy who got married and placed a bet and was a sore loser, right? In that sense of a different type of person. So this time period of 20 years in the custom or the of the nation of Israel, it was customary for a young man to get married sometime between the age of 20 to 30. The Jewish Encyclopedia says the age of 18 was the legal point where a man could get married. And so assuming that he was in his early 20s, then judging the nation of Israel for 20 years would now put him in his 40s. Somewhere between the mid-40s to the early 50s. We're not talking about a young, emotional, rebellious guy that we experienced in Judges chapter 13 and 14. We're talking about a more mature individual, one who's experienced life, one who has judged the nation of Israel. He was educated, understood the things of the law. He was one who had walked with God, had the Spirit of God, one who was not new to the fallacies of this life. And this is the Samson that we now experience here in Judges chapter 16. Now, one of the things we find concerning the life of Samson, as you're turning with me to Judges chapter 16, I remind you that in Hebrews chapter 11, we find Samson is listed amongst these who were faithful, the Hall of Faith. And it's pretty striking that the writer of the book of Hebrews would list him as one of these who was of a great faith, and a great faith to accomplish great things. And so in this example of Judges chapter 16, we find the why Samson was identified or listed there in the Hall of Faith. And we now turn to Judges chapter 16. We summarize our opening reading this morning with this relationship with Delilah. Samson has engaged in a relationship with Delilah. In verse number 4, it says that he loves this woman. He loves this woman. She is, based on the location, is most likely a Philistine. It does not say she's a Philistine, but pretty high probability she's a Philistine. And that he loves her greatly. And then we find this series where she's trying to figure out the source of his strength. Now, sometimes guys can be dumb, and Samson is certainly amongst these, right? I mean, at what point did you not figure out she's the one doing this, right? She says, "Tell me your secret." And he says, "It's this." And so she does it. And well, how did that happen unto her? If it wasn't her, who did that to you? But he falls for it a second time. You'd think he'd learn after the second one, but he falls for it a third time. I mean, at some point, I mean, come on, man. You figure this out, that she's not the one that's behind this, you know, that the Philistines magically are there the three times that you've told this secret. You'd figure out that he would certainly learn his lesson. But you remember, this is what happened to Samson at the marriage feast. In Judges chapter 14, you don't have to turn there, but Judges chapter 14, verse number 17, this is where he had made this bet, and his new wife was now begging him to tell him the secret, tell him the answer of the riddle. And he ultimately tells her the answer of the riddle, and that's how he loses the bet. But here it is again, the pleading of the woman, the pleading of the wife, saying, well, you said you love me. And so he finally caves. And that's where we left off in our opening reading, Judges chapter 16, verse number 17. He told her all that was in his heart. There were not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. So here he's confirming, he's in his, you know, mid-40s, early 50s, and he hasn't had a haircut for that entire time. He says, a razor has never come upon my head. I have been, if I had be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak as any other man. And so he tells her the secret, ultimately, in verse number 19, this woman that he loves so much, it says here in verse number 19, the testimony that she made him sleep upon her knees. She calls for the men, and then she, this woman that she loves, she caused him to be shaven. So the mouth factor here, the source of this malintent is her. She's the one who causes him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength was gone. She began to afflict him, this woman that he loved. I mean, this is pretty, we're observers of history, and we're reading on this, and your heart is just wrenched over what this guy is about to go through, and that this woman is the cause of this. Shaves his head and begins to afflict him, confirming his strength is gone. And verse number 20, the Philistines come upon Samson. He's awoken. He says, I'm going to go. And ultimately, they capture him instead. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 21, Judges chapter 16, verse number 21. But the Philistines took him, so they captured him, and then they put out his eyes. They blind him. Again, imagine yourselves in the sense of walking in his shoes, the devastation that comes and the sudden realization of the loss of sight. They brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with fetters of brass. And notice here in verse 21, he began to grind in the prison. So there's a reference you'll see in a lot of the interpretations of the Samson story that he's grinding the grain. There's a giant stone wheel mashing the grain, the seeds of grain, into a powder, which we would call flour. So this is how this great man ends up. Now, last time we were together, We identify this miraculous birth of his that likened unto Samuel, likened unto John the Baptist, that an angel of God to identify Samson is going to be born. His name will be called Samson. He will have this special gift. And we are so full of excitement as student of history to see that this guy is going to take this strength to do great things. But as we identified last time, he didn't. He was very selfish with his gift, didn't use it to the honor of God, but used it to his own glory. And this decline ends up with him in prison, in shackles, blinded, aimlessly turning a grinding wheel. And if that was not horrific enough, we find that it goes on to say that they would make sport of him. Now, none of us like to be ridiculed. We all have some sense of human pride that people making fun of us is something that we just don't take kindly to. But now to be a prisoner in shackles, blinded, grinding a wheel, and when they decide to have a feast or a party, you're the entertainment. They made sport of him. We find one of this examples is listed here. Let's see. Judges chapter 16, verse number 25. Judges chapter 16, verse number 25. And so it came to pass when they're having a feast, and when it came to pass and when their hearts were merry, they said, "Hey, let's call for Samson that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison, and he made them sport. And they set him between two pillars. And so they were making fun of him, and we find ultimately this event that transpires to the extension that his life comes to an end. As he has been called out of the prison, he speaks to the young attendant, most likely a boy, and he says, "Put me between the pillars that house the whole structure." Now, in the days of the Philistines in the ancient world, there was these columns that were the ones that were primary load bearing. He says, "Put me between these." And then he makes this petition unto God. Reading the last moments of his life, verse 28, Judges chapter 16, verse 28. Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this one time. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson took hold of the two middle pillars and upon the house, and he stood on it, and he bore upon one with his right hand and upon the other with his left, and he declares, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bows himself in all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords, upon the people therein, and so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew at his life. This miraculous conclusion of his life. Now, the scriptures does identify in verse number 22 that even though he was shaven, his hair started growing back. But it does not identify that his strength had returned unto him. But certainly here, when he makes this petition unto God, this petition of repentance, "God, remember me. God, return my strength unto me." That his strength did return, and the pillars did fall. And we can certainly recognize why the author of the book of Hebrews would write in there, "This was a man of faith." 20 years he judged the nation of Israel. 20 years he had been faithful. He had been a Nazarite from his life. He had been a recipient of the Spirit of God. Again, rare in that day. And despite his failings, the tail end of his life, he calls upon God in a moment of repentance, "God, remember me." And those pillars fell out of faith. It's pretty amazing conclusion to the life of Samson. But our series is focused upon what not to do. Right? Even in the young man of life of Samson, we recognize that rebelliousness. We recognize the selfishness. And many of us can see within our own selves, and we were in our early 20s, sense of rebellion and selfishness. And we can see it in others. And so we can certainly identify with Samson as using his gift for his own glory. But that's not the Samson that we're focused on today. We're talking about a mature individual. We're talking about a judge of the nation of Israel, a spiritual leader, one who was a Nazarite vow, the sense of walking faithfully before God for 20 years. And our text opens up with this strange statement in verse number 1. Judges chapter 16, verse number 1. Guy in his late 40s, guy has been faithfully serving God all this time. And then notice what it says in verse number 1. Judges chapter 16, verse number 1. Then Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot, and he went unto her. This is how the text opens up. He's visiting a city by the name of Gaza, and he sees a prostitute there, and he's off to go visit with the prostitute. Then, verse number 4, he starts having this relationship with Delilah. Well, we're talking about a judge over the nation of Israel. Remember when Samson was a young man and he wanted a wife from the Philistines, his parents objected, saying, "No, why have a wife from the Philistines? Is there not one amongst the God-fearing people that is good for you?" And he wanted his lust for a Philistine woman at that time superseded what the expectation was. Now we're talking about a mature Samson, a judge over the nation of Israel. And instead of being faithful to the expectations of the law, he wants this relationship with a Philistine woman, which is not consistent with the law. Here, we begin to recognize a pattern of sin in the life of Samson. He might be mature in age. He might have been faithful the bulk of his life, but we also see that sin has begun to get a hold of him. Sin in his life. And that sin in his life had caused him, in this relation with Delilah, to lose his gift, to lose his freedom, to lose his sight. But what is probably the most devastating in the result of this path of sin that he is on is the testimony that's given in verse number 20. And if you are a note taker, highlight this verse. This is a powerful statement that is given. Verse number 20 comes after this event. Delilah petitions unto him, "How do I remove your strength?" And they fail. And ultimately, she wins in vexing him to death, is what it says there. And he gives away his secret. She causes his hair to be removed. She afflicts him. And he gets up and he goes to attack the Philistines. And his strength is gone. But notice this testimony, verse number 20. Judges chapter 16, verse number 20. As she had done before, she says unto him, "Philistines be upon you, Samson." And he wakes from his sleep and he makes this statement, "I will go out as I have done before and shake myself. I will shake these off. I will go and attack them as I have done before, as I have always done in my life." And here's the statement. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Let me read that to you again for dramatic effect. He did not know God had left him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is such a powerful statement, even as God-fearing men and women today. This is what the scriptures warn about walking a path of sin. We recognize sin is a function of life. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Sin happens. We fall to our temptations. We repent. We get our relationship right with God. We're not talking about moments of sin. We're talking about the path of sin. When a person chooses to walk contrary to the things that God has identified, that path of sin will lead you from God. And you won't reach this choice of that choosing this and that's over. No, deception comes in. And you don't realize you no longer have a relationship with God. Samson woke up and says, I'm going to go as I have always done. And did not know that God had departed from him. This is the danger that comes with walking a path of sin. This is the danger in which the church is charged with and in monitoring the membership. Hey, what you're doing is not right. You're walking contrary to the things of God. Cannot keep doing that. And one day, you're going to wake up and find you have departed from God. It's this testimony that Paul writes concerning sin in the lives of the believer in the familiar text of Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they did not glorify God. And because they did not glorify God, God gave them up to the own deceptions of their hearts, their reprobate minds. It is this condition of sin that James writes, that we are tempted. The lust of the flesh, it desires these things, and most certainly, easily identified in the life of Samson. 20 years of faithful service unto God, and he falls into the trap of sin and going into the house of a harlot, which leads him to the house of Delilah, which leads him to prison, blinded, and didn't know God wasn't with him. The temptations, he says, James chapter 1, verse 14, the temptations that come, we fall to its lust, and when we act upon its lust, then that action becomes sin. But when it has run its full course, comes death. So it was true in the life of Samson, was it not? The chapter begins in verse 1. He goes to the house of a harlot. Verse 4, he's in the house of the Philistines. Verse 22, he's in prison. Verse 29, he's dead. Is it not? God is gracious to honor petitions of repentance. John speaks to this in 1 John chapter 1, that when we come before him to ask for forgiveness, he will forgive. He will restore that relationship. We find the warnings that Paul writes in Romans 1 and James writes in James 1 saying, be careful about the nature of sin itself. And you and I, as God-fearing men and women today, we recognize that sin is a function of life and events happened and we are thankful that God will honor it. But sometimes we're too careless about the path of sin. Sometimes we're too careless about dabbling with the ungodly. Samson was a faithful man for God for 20 years and then entered into a relationship with an unbeliever. Cost him his freedom, cost him his sight. Paul declares in 2 Corinthians, what do we have to do with the ungodly? And we'll have ungodly friends. And that relationship with the ungodly friends will have an impact on how you view sin. Or, as modern believers, we are surrounded with so much American entertainment and American freedoms and American lusts. And we think, well, it's just a function of life. And we become careless with the sins that are so freely given away in this life. the idolatry that surrounds us all. Sin in the life of the believer leads to death. When we start walking in a path of sin, we should be willing to recognize and willing to respond, get off the path. Because if we continue to walk the path, then one day we're going to wake up and not realize God has departed. My final turning is in Ezekiel chapter 18. Here in Ezekiel chapter 18, the nation of Israel is complaining to God about His unfairness. And Ezekiel responds to this complaint. Why do you say I'm unfair? Look at the results. Look what I do concerning the wicked and concerning the righteous. And I want to read this text at both the closing for today, but also in context to that question. And here he says, Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning to read in verse 24, the comparison of the righteous and the wicked. Verse 24, but when the righteous turn away from his righteousness, and they go and they commit sin, and does not according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, shall he live? Now think about Samson, a righteous man, 20 years serving God. Chapter 16, he goes to a prostitute's house. Verse 4, he goes to Delilah. What happens? He's doing that which the wicked do. Shall he live? All his righteousness, continuing to read, all his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in the trespass, that he has trespassed in his sin, that he sinned in them, shall he die? Yet you all say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Well, listen, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Isn't it your ways that are unequal? When a righteous will turn away from his righteous and commit sin and dies in them, for his sin that he had done shall he die. But then also when the wicked man turns from his wickedness and he commits and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul, because he is considered and he has turned away from his transgression that he has committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. And the righteous know the right way, the godly way, the things that God expects, and then turns away from that. Shall he not be held accountable? When the ungodly recognizes I'm doing the ungodly things, and they turn from those ungodly things, and they turn to a relationship of God, and God accepts that, shall God not accept his repentance? Shall God not accept his choice? Shall God not accept him who has repented and turned unto God? Yeah, we love that one. But to be held accountable as the righteous. Ladies and gentlemen, as God-fearing men and women today, sin is deceptive. And sin will lead you away from God. Don't be callous. Don't be careless. But be a God-fearing man or woman that is actively repenting, actively seeking God to stay in that right relationship. Don't fall into the trap of sin as Samson did. May we be faithful in all that we do. Amen. Amen.